This is a Capricorn FM podcast.
Let's speak to civil society group Defend Our Democracy. They've declared the recent elections free and fair, but they say the IEC needs to improve their performance. We're speaking to Executive Director Zakira Vardi. Good evening and welcome.
Good evening. Thank you very much for hosting me on air.
Good evening. Appreciate your time. What is your general view of how the whole election process went?
So our preliminary views, and this is based on basic analysis that came through our observer feedback mechanism, is that the elections were broadly free and fair. However, it hasn't been without its administrative glitches. So if you take, for instance, the issues with VMD machines, the long queues, the switching off of the leaderboard, as well as the Section 24A residential address change issue. And those things do need to be addressed by the IEC. But broadly, there wasn't any sort of major incidents of violence or intimidation, and we think that that is quite important in terms of the overall cleanness and fairness of the election.
Okay, the residential address issue, what was the issue there?
The issue was that it seemed that many people did not know that they need to change their residential address if they moved to a different area in order to be given the, you know, the right to vote in that particular province as well as get a national ballot. So some would have applied for the Section 24A so that they could vote in another province. Others would have changed their residential addresses. But some, it seems, didn't know they had to do that and ended up in the queue and didn't then get a chance to vote. And I don't think we're very happy about it, given that the queues were also very long.
Yeah. Do you suppose it was not enough voter education done by the IEC, or there is a responsibility to be borne by voters as well?
It's a bit of both. One is the IEC did have a very short electoral cycle. So from the time that the election date was pronounced up until elections was a very short period. But certainly there is a responsibility on others in society, be it civil society organizations or the public at large, to be informed of the new kind of rules that are governing elections. We know that in previous elections, for example, all that you needed to do if you were living in a different province is go to whichever voting station it was, fill in a form there, and you would be allowed to vote on the national vote. And with this election, it had changed, and I don't think people had known about it.
Okay, and in terms of the ballots themselves, so three now, what experience did that give people? So I understand there were complaints that the queues were long. Some of the explanations given for that was that there were three ballots. People took longer to find the parties that they were looking for and so on.
Well, yes, I suppose in terms of logistics management, you know, the minute you add one more thing to a process, it does lengthen it. So that the explanation there may be within reason. But in terms of the regional ballot, I think there was also a little bit of education lacking. Up until just before elections, I had spoken to someone who thought that the regional ballot meant voting in a local councillor, basically. And that's completely off the mark. So there does need to be greater voter education, I think, in elections going forward.
Okay. And one of the areas, of course, you looked at is whether there was intimidation, violence, and so on.
Yes. So we, from the 500-odd voting stations where we had observers based, one of the questions was around voter intimidation and violence. And we had very few incidents reported. And it was primarily, you know, along the lines of people seeing tensions as campus flaring while they were in the voting queues, or political parties, you know, seemingly coming to arguments outside voting stations. But they were extremely limited. The greater issue was in the administrative process. So those voter management devices in particular not working very well. So that's what we picked up. I think I also feel it's important to reference the HSRC, the Human Science Research Council findings. And they, from the 13,000-odd people who they surveyed, 92% felt that the election was free and fair because they were allowed to make a choice, on their own without any sort of force on who to choose for their government.
Yeah.
And that's a very important indicator.
This issue of voter management devices, I see that even political parties that you would have picked up on now are talking about possible allegations of discrepancies, and some are talking about rigging as well. It may relate to these devices. Of course, it may relate to the system momentarily being unavailable at the IEC Results Operations Center in Johannesburg. But otherwise, what is your finding on this issue around the voter management device?
So the backup was the manual system, you know, where you go and your name is rolled off on the voter's roll. It's just that the process of that obviously takes a little bit longer. And what I suspect, we're not too sure about it as yet, is perhaps the message to go back to the manual system didn't necessarily go to all presiding officers or wasn't understood by all presiding officers immediately.
Yeah.
So lots of attempts to continue using those voter management devices despite the issues with it. When it comes to the dispute that some political parties are lodging, we think that there are avenues for that, both through the IEC, the electoral court, as well as the other courts of the country. But it is the responsibility to bring through credible evidence when making those particular disputes as well.
There are parties that are saying the elections were rigged, that they have evidence of what would amount to serious discrepancies and so on, that for them it qualifies to go to a revote. What is your take on your side, of course, informed by the information you've gathered?
So parties who are making such claims must bring forward the evidence. What evidence is it that warrants a rerun of the elections? That's the first thing. And there are channels to bring through these disputes, and they are encouraged to go through to them to vent or ventilate whatever it is that they think the issues were. Simply coming to, you know, public platform and calling for a rerun, I don't think is good enough.
And, you know, I wonder if they were, whether parties were able to engage with the IEC properly before the elections around processes, whether it's how do you lodge a complaint and so on. And because there are those that are saying the IEC should have not declared the elections because there are still serious issues that they are raising, and they thought the IEC should attend to those first.
The IEC has a period of 7 days in which to declare the electoral results. I think that it is really, if the IEC feels it is able to deal with issues within a particular period of time, whether that starts from day one or ends at day seven, it's really very prerogative. On the other hand, it is important to declare electoral results as soon as the counting is finalized, because otherwise you kind of leave a sense of everything up in the air. So you need a sense of finality. People need to know so that they can move on with the coalition building process and everything else that needs to be done to form a new government. So I think it's important just in terms of overall stability, in terms of assuring people around the electoral process, the sooner the electoral results are declared, the better it goes for ongoing stability as well.
Okay. Thank you very much. Appreciate your time.
That was a Capricorn FM podcast. For more podcasts, visit capricornfm.co.za.